After a tumultuous few weeks, the Los Angeles Times has a new owner, billionaire Patrick Soon-Shiong. Could that bring stability to the major newspaper? They've had a lot of troubles. The latest ones began when its publisher, Ross Levinson, was accused of sexual harassment. In January, the staff of the paper voted to form a union. Newsweek is also making separate headlines with a massive round of firing there on Monday and ongoing troubles at that company. Joining us now with his view on all of these stories is NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. Hi there, David.
Hey there.
Okay, so let's talk about this LA Times story. It's a really big one. What's the latest happening at that paper, and could this new owner make a big difference there?
I think it could. The Los Angeles Times is returning to local ownership for the first time in almost two decades. Patrick Soon-Shiong is a billionaire a number of times over, a physician, surgeon, entrepreneur, a minority owner of the Los Angeles Lakers, a philanthropist, somebody who I think has committed publicly to the idea of a conventional, traditional sense of journalism and public interest that a number of folks who voted in favor of unionizing at the LA Times just last month felt was under siege under the new ownership put in place, not just the ownership of Trunk, but the new leadership put in place by that parent company. Trunk decided to sort of wash its hands of the problem after we had raised questions about past allegations of workplace misconduct and two lawsuits involving sexual harassment in which the publisher of the LA Times was named a defendant. They finally said this is just too much issue. They mutinied against their editor-in-chief. It looks like it could be a new day for the LA Times, but there are questions about that owner too.
So what are some of the questions then?
Well, you know, even with the esteem with which Dr. Soon-Shiong is held by many, there are questions about ways in which he has operated in the past, questions about some of the definitions of an arrangement he had in funding a clinic at the University of Utah, whether in some ways it had been written to redound to the benefit of one of his companies, the very highly respected Boston-based health news organization Stat News had done a deep dive on Soon-Shiong and some of his efforts in favor of what's being called the moonshot, that is an effort at a cure for cancer, and said that a lot of his claims were hyped up or inflated or unsubstantiated for what he was going to be able to accomplish or what he had accomplished. And he's said to be very thin-skinned about journalistic criticism of some of his efforts in the past. The question is whether that's a particularly good characteristic for a publisher. But at the moment, let me just say a lot of folks in the newsroom are breathing a sigh of relief and are very hopeful for the leadership under his tenure. Oh. They just don't know who he's going to put in place to lead them.
Right. Very interesting, because, you know, you mentioned that that note or that letter that he wrote to the LA Times staff, talking a little bit about himself and his view of journalism, because he wrote, as someone who grew up in apartheid South Africa, I understand the role that journalism needs to play in a free society.
Yeah. And that really struck a chord. You know, one of the real rankling points for folks at the LA Times in recent months was the appointment of Louis Dvorkin, past editor of Forbes and a person who had some stints at Newsweek and the New York Times and Wall Street Journal along the way, but sort of talked about his investment emotionally in journalism through referring to various Hollywood films about journalism, as opposed to talking with passion about the work and the traditions of the Los Angeles Times, a place that has won, I believe, 44 Pulitzers in its history and has done a lot of, you know, agenda-setting reporting for Los Angeles, Southern California, and the West. So, you know, there's a place that has had national and international distinction in its coverage, and he didn't seem to be able to tap into those traditions, those aspirations, those ambitions for its journalists there. I think Soon-Shiong is signaling he gets that, and that's a real sign of hope.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to talk about Newsweek that's suffering from a deficit of hope right now, right? Because a number of top editors fired this week, writers, advertisers, executives all jumping ship. I mean, how much longer can Newsweek hang on?
You know, there was a very compelling and moving letter of resignation sent from the distinguished longtime political journalist Matthew Cooper. And he wrote a letter of resignation he posted on his Facebook page. And he said he wasn't sure that there was a Newsweek left to resign from. They had fired their editor-in-chief, their executive editor, early this week along with one of their top reporters. And it appeared to be because those folks were involved in investigating, holding accountable their parent company and their ownership for deep problems, questions of their their finances. I believe there had been a raid on Newsweek by law enforcement authorities trying to determine whether or not there had been improprieties there. No charges yet, but nonetheless a disturbing sign for any newsroom. You know, you saw these firings happen because they were trying to do the kind of reporting that you would hope the New York Times would do if there were serious questions raised about its operations, or the kind of truth-telling we try to do at NPR when there are questions raised here. Newsweek's ownership wasn't having it, people were forced out as a result, and you've seen just a flood of resignations. And I think that's in part because you have an ownership that doesn't seem to have any real understanding of journalism and the imperatives there. They got rid of some very distinguished journalists over the years. But you're also seeing, you know, this is a very thin news weekly at this point.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the finances of the very industry are just under assault. Hard to do at the same time the management of the company's integrity is very much in doubt.
Well, that's NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, thank you so much.
You bet.